And good morning. I was reminded just as we were listening to that the book of Ezra is talking about how the people of God had a unified purpose. And they were in a program of such of sorts as well in rebuilding the temple. And the Bible talks about how the people of God in the book of Ezra gave freely or gave as much as they could. And as I was just reading through some of those chapters over the last couple of days, I just thought about what a beautiful picture of the family of God. People doing what they can when they can. I was also reminded, as I thought of Brad and his family this morning, of 1 Chronicles chapter 11, where King David is appointed as a leader and as a shepherd over the people of Israel. And Brad, I just want you to know that I, just in my heart, I was praying for you and your family this morning as you lead and shepherd this good church family of Mirror Lake Community Alliance Church. And thanks for the invitation to be here today and share with you guys. And many blessings upon you and this entire church family. I'd like to do a couple things today. I'd like to spend about 10 minutes of our time together talking about the immediate story, the backstory, and the full story. And then sort of like bookends, if you would, sort of bracketing that, I'd like to talk to you a little bit and share with you a little bit about our soon-to-be transition to the Principality of Monaco. The talk today finds its home primarily in Psalm 25. And I've aptly entitled the message this morning, Written on Our Hearts. And in fact, the content of this message is itself now firmly established in our lives. This season of transition, and especially the last 18 months, has in many ways, for us as a family, been an exploration of faith and suffering. What is faith? Faith is trust in God's providence. Trust that God is perfect and that His ways are perfect. As I reviewed my notes this morning, I too came across that word faith and suffering. And I was reminded of David's words in Psalm 142, verse 3, where he says, "My suffering was good for me." And I insert the question, why? How can that be good for me? How can that be good for you? Well, David says, "My suffering was good for me because it taught me something. It taught me to pay attention to your decrees." And so this season of our life, especially the last 18 months, has been an exploration of faith and suffering. God has schooled us in ways that are at times difficult to document on paper, but are firmly established in our hearts. So I want to begin, before we get to the immediate story and the backstory and the full story, I want to begin by sharing part of our journey with you. 3 years ago, while I was working at Spruce Grove Alliance Church as part of the staff team there, I was enjoying a three-month break, a three-month study and rest sabbatical. It was the first time at that time in 9 full years at Spruce Grove Alliance Church that my wife, Birgit, and I asked ourselves this question: what do we want to offer the rest of our lives to? We had a sense, and we were wondering if God maybe had a new set of responsibilities for us. And so a few months after I returned from my sabbatical, I brought up this perspective journey and this perspective shift with my then senior pastor, Scott Buck, and Scott began to journey with us. We had a sense that God was preparing us. Though I have to say, during the last especially 18 months, it didn't always feel like preparation at the time. And I began living. As much as I live with my wife Birgit and our almost 18-year-old daughter Tatiana, I began living with Psalm 25. At that time, we sold or gave away a third of everything we owned. We sold our townhome on July 30th of this past year, almost 1 year ago. I quit my job of 11 years at Spruce Grove Alliance Church, and we relocated to a small townhome in South Edmonton, where we began renting month to month, still believing, even in our downsizing, that God was calling us to not only a new set of responsibilities, but especially my wife had an ongoing sense that the opportunity, and when I say opportunity, I'm speaking of a new job as a pastor, to just put it quite frankly. And where that was, around this province or this country or this globe, we didn't know. But Birgit had a sense that we would be moving into somewhere small. She just sort of had a feeling like, Daryl, we need to downsize. And so we continued to do that. The last 18 months have been marked for us by these words: heartbreak, testings, doubt, fear, loss, and disappointments. A sort of emptying or purging has been going on in our lives over the last especially 18 months. And as I began living with Psalm 25, I began rehearsing daily the opening verse: O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. And again, that's the definition of faith: trust in God's providence, that God is perfect, and that his ways, though they don't always seem to be our ways, are perfect. I continued to apply and interview for opportunities all over the world. I had the opportunity in January to begin part-time studies at Regent College and began studying theology at a master's level and Christian faith and practice in a postmodern world. So those were sort of my two arenas of study at Regent College. I began preaching about once out of every 3 or 4 weekends somewhere around Alberta in the last year. And I completed the ordination program through the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And next week, actually, I will be, after almost 30 years in ministry, it's about time, I'll be ordained as a pastor with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And as I continued to walk, and I literally began walking over the last year or two, 30 or 45 or 60 minutes every day, I began rehearsing and memorizing Psalm chapter 25 and verse 4 and 5. Lord, show me the right path. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. And on mornings when we got up after a 3 or 3.5 month engagement with a church somewhere around the world, after multiple interviews, and in some cases over 40 hours of work put into dialoguing with a church, believe me, those words poured more freely and the tears flowed more freely when we woke up to an email: Daryl, I'm sorry, but after this 3 month journey, that's the end of the line. And there again was a lost opportunity, and I cried out to God, show us the right path. Point out the road for us to follow. Someone told me, Daryl, you need to read the book written by Jeff Mannion called The Land in Between. And Jeff talks about that land, that wilderness experience. It's sort of like, here's point A, here's where you are. It may be where you are today. And here's point B, here's where you would like to be, wherever that might be. And it's that land in between, that desert experience, is very difficult ground to traverse. But it's fertile soil for growth. And I began reciting Psalm 25, verse 15. My eyes are always on the Lord. And in his providential orderedness, he was painfully preparing Birgit and I for that opportunity that would be a fit with the very best that we had to offer. I was in conversation with a church, a Mennonite Brethren church in British Columbia, and with an Alliance church in Central California. And then I received a profile for a church, an international church in the Principality of Monaco. This profile was forwarded to me. I pushed the go button and applied for that role. And a few days later, we were out visiting with friends of ours. And I guess I kind of want to stop here and tell you this story because there's a bit of humor in it. At least it seems humorous to us in retrospect. We're at the West Edmonton Mall with good friends of ours, Karen and Jonathan Lapp. I worked with Karen for 11 years at Spruce Grove Alliance Church, and we had supper. It's January 18th, 2018, and Birgit shares with Karen, I mean, we had just come through a 3.5-month process with an international church in the poorest country in South America, in La Paz, Bolivia. And we kind of believed at the time that this might be God's assignment for us. It just seemed like a right fit. And we were already preparing our families and already preparing our lives to transition to South America. And in the middle of December, again, after another three and a half months in process, that fell through. So Birgit began to laugh and she began to share with Karen how, oh, now we've applied for a role at the richest country in the world, the Principality of Monaco. And I know some people think, where's Monaco? Or they get it mistaken with Morocco. Well, Morocco is Northern Africa. Monaco is Monte Carlo. This morning was the Formula One Grand Prix. Don't tell me who won. I'm taping it, or I taped it. I thought I'd better prepare for my message rather than watch the Grand Prix. So Birgit, and here's the story. Birgit and Karen are in Bath and Body Works, is that what it's called? You know, where you buy all the candles and all that frou-frou stuff. All the nice-smelling soaps and so on. And Jonathan and I are just outside the store at West Edmonton Mall, standing next to what? The Lamborghini, if you've been in West Edmonton Mall. There's this, like for 5 years, this car has been sitting there. And then they put a new car there, and you buy tickets and so on. So we're standing, admiring this beautiful car. And Karen comes out, and Karen's got a great sense of humor. And she looks at me really seriously. Daryl, if you were to move to Monaco, a car like that is not a want. That's a need. You need a car like that. And we laughed. And I guess maybe much like Sarah laughed when she learned that she was going to have a child. Well, the irony of it is that when we move to Monaco, we won't even own a car. And we'll live in a 700-square-foot apartment. But here's the laugh. 2 days later, I receive an email from the chairman of the search team. And 3 years after we first asked ourselves, what do we want to offer the rest of our lives to? God, we will go anywhere you call us. There was a succession of 5 interviews. And in the middle of March, Birgit and I were invited to the Principality of Monaco to candidate as a senior pastor of an international church. We were there for 2 weeks. There was a week and a half gap after our candidacy and the vote from the church. My daughter was at an appointment here in South Edmonton, and I was sitting in a cafe reading, and I thought to myself, God, if there is a possible better fit somewhere around this globe for our skill set, our temperaments, and our gift mix, I can't possibly imagine what that might be. And a few short days later, with a warm and strong embrace, the church in Monaco voted to receive Birgit and I as their next pastor and pastor's wife. And so for 3 years, you know, God said, I need to do some internal work on you. You know, I got to put the paddles to you. I got to change some things in you. I got to expand your horizons. And maybe much like David in the book of 1 Kings, that he proceeded with a longer stride and a wider embrace. I need to equip you for that assignment that is your best offering. And so I want to come back to that in just a moment. And Brad has given me the liberty to just sort of share with you a bit about that journey. But I want to just take now, might be less than 10 minutes. I want to talk to you briefly about the immediate story, the back story, and then the complete story. The immediate story is the modern story. One of the most urgent questions facing Western Christians in the advanced modern global era is this: how will we contextualize the gospel? And what I mean by that is, how will we establish the gospel with faith and wisdom within a particular cultural frame? So for you, that is Parkland County. How will Mirror Lake Community Alliance Church establish the gospel with faith and wisdom in the year 2018 in Parkland County? For us, the question will be, how will we establish the gospel within the principality of Monaco with faith and wisdom? The modern story is the process in which various parts of your society and our society and culture are freed from the influence of religion. It refers to a construction of reality that is simply indifferent to the existence of God. It's not that the neighbor that you farm next to you, or the acreage that you border with, or the town that you live in, Spruce Grove or Stony Plain, it's not necessarily that that person does not believe in God. It's just that God is irrelevant in today's day and age, in the postmodern world. He makes no difference to the economy of my life. Oz Guinness, in his book, The Last Christian on Earth, he has like this little cartoon with like three snapshots. And it's so simple that I can convey that to you without, you know, having it up here on the screen. Here's the gist of it. And this summarizes the modern condition. Here's frame one. Noah's Ark, seemingly adrift on the sea. And far in the background, you can see on the horizon a massive ocean liner. That's frame number one. Frame number two, you see the massive ocean liner pulled up and dwarfing Noah's Ark, and a gangplank going from Noah's Ark to the ocean liner, and everybody, person and animal, disembarking onto the ocean liner. And the caption reads this: "Welcome aboard. Not a moment too soon by the look of that old tub." And then the last frame, you see Noah's Ark empty and adrift, and you see the large ocean liner having done a 180 and pulling away. And what do you read on the badge on the back of the ocean liner? The SS Titanic. This is the modern story. The church in the West have purchased tickets on an ocean liner that in their economy outranks God's provision of the ark, and they've bought a ticket on a sinking ship. The immediate story which is defined by the absence of God, is the modern story, and it's a story without God. Now, very briefly, the backstory. The backstory is just the opposite. It's defined by the very presence of God. It's what's going on right now. It's what's always been going on. And we need to see things through God's eyes. God sees me. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Proverbs 15, verse 3. God knows me. I am known by God. Galatians 4, verse 9. And God wants me. Long ago, before God made the world, God chose us to be his very own. And part of the backstory, or an important part, if I can say it that way, of the backstory, is the book of Ecclesiastes. Because it's here in the book of Ecclesiastes, and in life, where everything passes away and fails to satisfy, we see in that book the answer to this question: what is the solution to life in such a world? There's an ebb and a flow. There's ups and downs. There's constructive and apparent destructive seasons. But we were made, human life was made for something more. Something more than diabetes and debt. Something more than divorce and death and regret and shame. We were made with a purpose and a plan. We were made with a deep sense of eternity. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has set eternity in the heart of man. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. This is the backstory, and it is defined by the very presence of God. It's what's going on in your life. It's what's been going on since before you were born. God is orchestrating and arranging the circumstances of life in your favor, for your good, and for his glory, trying always to get your attention and my attention. And then very briefly, the full story. The full story is defined by the very revelation of God. And we see here how we are worked into the ultimate story. If you have a moment sometime soon, read Acts chapter 17, beginning at about verse 15. We read there how the whole universe is alive with his life. He is no strange or foreign God, but he's the familiar father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And his love has for all these years enfolded the human race. And he's always trying to get our attention, to reveal himself to us and to reach us. And we have the chance to know him if we will but respond. And so when it comes to life, life here in Parkland County, or life in the Principality of Monaco, there is an ultimate transcendent principle of order. An order into which we, each of us, are ordered. And God sees me and knows me and wants me. And within the human heart, and here we get back to Ecclesiastes 3:11, there is a deep longing. Now watch this. As I transition, there is a deep longing for something more. Avicii. Does that name ring a bell for anyone in this room? Likely anyone 25 and under. Avicii, by the way, means the lowest level of Buddhist hell, and was the name of the music legend and touring DJ Tim Bergling. He acquired the name Avicii when his real name had already been used on MySpace. He told Rolling Stones magazine last year this: it's very easy to become too attracted to partying. You become lonely and get anxieties. It becomes toxic. Sadly, on April 20th, the 28-year-old Swedish star, who had a net worth of $94 million, was found dead. His family confirmed that he had, in fact, taken his own life. And in a statement, the family said this, and you can hear the longing in, dare I suggest, a mother's voice. Our beloved, a child is always loved. Our beloved Tim was a seeker, searching for answers. He wanted to find balance in life and to be happy. Now, for those that are 25 years and older, you might be more familiar with this name, John Calvin. In somewhere around the year 1530, he wrote, "To those who think only of the present life, death is the extremity of despair." I want to take a 30-second commercial right now, and perhaps measured by a different yardstick, if I can use that term, this next 30 seconds may in fact be the most important 30 seconds of our morning together, or at least of my talk together. I want to read for you one verse that just sort of comfortably sits in the book of 2 Samuel. One verse. As I read this, you may be thinking of yourself. You may be thinking of someone whom you love. All of us must die eventually. Our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God does not just sweep life away. Insert whomever's name you wish in there, your name or someone else's. God, while others may, even others close to you, God does not just sweep life away. Instead, watch this. He devises ways to bring us back to himself when we have been separated from him. This is an awesome book. A collection of books and letters written by more than 40 authors, writing in three different languages from different countries over the course of 1,500 years, with a simple story. God created humankind. Humankind sinned and is now separated from God. But God has a way to make us right with himself, and he devises ways to bring you and I back to himself when we have been separated from him. That's the gospel in the Old Testament, foreshadowed. I'd like us to sort of round third base here and head for home plate. And I'd like to come back to Europe. Eurosecularity is now a settled condition, writes Oz Guinness, the fellow with the cartoon. From Scandinavia to the Mediterranean, where we will live, and from the Atlantic to the Urals, the dawning of the modern world has reduced the church in Europe to a condition that, measured by its former standards, is one of virtual collapse. I'd like to give you a snapshot of where we're headed. Monaco is the second smallest country in the world. 37,000 people live in 0.75 square miles. Another 40,000 will commute into Monaco every day, with the exception of Sunday, to work. Another 1.5 million people will visit Monaco every year. English, French, and Italian are the primary languages, and it is among the last remaining Catholic monarchies in the world. Religious understanding once provided sort of an overarching explanation of understanding, a sacred canopy over the entire European social order. But today, there is a profound need to reestablish the gospel with faith and wisdom within its particular cultural frame. Three small French towns cradle Monaco, along with Nice, Ventimiglia, and San Remo in Italy. The metro population swells to more than 500,000. Monaco Christian Fellowship, an English-speaking, non-denominational, multinational, intergenerational church, is the only evangelical church in the Principality of Monaco. Monaco Christian Fellowship is the only English-speaking evangelical church that you can go to within a 60-minute drive of the Principality of Monaco. People from as far away as San Remo, Italy, and Nice, France, come to church to Monaco Christian Fellowship. Not everyone in Monaco is wealthy. Carmen. We had coffee with Carmen and a few other people one early morning at Starbucks. Carmen, who has been working for a family in Monaco for 13 years as a cook, shared with us how each day as I prepare meals for the family, I pray for them. And she went on to share her journey with us and said, I've not seen my children for 13 years. She explained how if I went back to the Philippines today, I could not get back out to work here in the Principality. I share a flat with a flatmate that costs 800 euros a month. I guess that would be about $1,300 a month. That sounds like a lot by our standards. That would get you there maybe 400 square feet for $1,300 a month. Everything else I make goes back to my children for the past 13 years in the Philippines. I met one man in the second service that I preached at in Monaco, sitting in the back with his Bible laid open on the pew. I approached him. I said, hey, I don't think we met last week when I was here. He said, no, I actually live in Romania. I'm a truck driver. This is only my third time at Monaco Christian Fellowship. Sundays, you can't drive those big rigs on the highways, at least in some parts of Europe. And so he comes into Monaco and goes to church. And then lastly, Regine, one of the retired ladies from Germany. Birgit is German. Birgit, And multiple Germans in the church in Monaco, and it was so cool to hear Birgit speaking her, her original language with them. Regine, who's German, told us over coffee that when it rains in Monaco, I grab my umbrella and I walk the streets of Monaco. I also do sound effects. Let's see. We'll see. Is that back on or is that on? Okay. So Regine walks the streets of Monaco when it rains, and every person she passes, she prays for. To pray, writes David Wells, is to declare that God and this world are at cross purposes. Jesus said, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. I will carry the chief responsibility for teaching the word, for guiding the church, and for preparing God's people for ministry in the principality of Monaco. Out on a little table right out here is a prayer card and a brochure. And after 17 stable years of leadership, the church in Monaco was around 100 people. The church had a pastor come in from the UK, and because of poor, unstable leadership, for just over 2 years, the church, it had an adverse effect on the church's well-being in terms of its attendance and its giving trends. For the last 2 years, the church has been without a pastor. And so, at present, the opportunity, in spite of it being the richest country in the world, the church doesn't even own a building. We lease space in the French Reformed Church. Monaco Christian Fellowship is a partially funded opportunity. They're in a position today to offer us half of what would be considered a normal salary in the principality or in that part of the world. We'll actually live in one of the small towns in France because it's cost prohibitive to live in Monaco, as many people who attend the church do. I just want to tell you very briefly that Cross World Canada has stepped up to the plate with us and is offering, you know, income tax receipts to people who do donate to support our call to Monaco. All that information is in the brochure. One thing that's kind of cool, the president of Cross World Canada, which finds their home in Toronto, is the founding pastor of Monaco Christian Fellowship. And so that brings me back to Psalm 25, verse 1. O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. I trust that God is perfect and that his ways are perfect. And for the last 3 years, we've been scaling Everest. And you know, I want to tell you, we made it to base camp. You know, you reach the summit when you pass from this life into the next. That's when you reach the summit. Like Ecclesiastes says, there's ups and downs, and there's ebbs and flows, and there's apparent destructive and apparent constructive seasons. And though it didn't always feel like preparation, God has spent the last 3 years deconstructing our lives, literally whittling down our belongings. Today we now own probably 20% of what we owned 3 years ago. 90% of everything in our house just sold a few days ago to two young adults who are wanting to furnish, you know, their own apartments. God has just been providing week by week, by month for us. And we just continue. By the way, on Thursday night, if you want, you can come over to Spruce Grove Alliance. There's going to be like an information fundraising dessert night. And someone from the church council was hoping to be here from Monaco to talk with us. But that just, you know, it's cross prohibitive to do that. So they've prepared like a video. And it's actually pretty cool. And there's some really nice pictures of me on the video too. You'd want to see those. Definitely. Oh, and a nice picture of Birgit too. Anyway, I want to, Brad, thank you for giving me the opportunity to just share. And thank you for praying for us. I know that there have been even those in the church family when we were last with you in August that took us out for a coffee just to encourage us. And so I just, you know, if we've crossed your mind in the last almost year, thank you for your thoughts and prayers. And many blessings upon you and Mirror Lake Community Alliance Church. Thank you.
Let's get Daryl and Birgit up here. And so that's awesome that you were totally on that same plane. I like that. It's good stuff. Thank you so much for just sharing your hearts with us today. I know you guys have had quite the journey over the last little while, as you've even discussed, and that's outstanding. So if you all don't mind, would you mind standing with us as we reach out towards them and just we pray a blessing upon them? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for who Birgit and Daryl are. And we know that you've prepared Monaco for them and that this place is just ready to receive them. And so we just pray that your ministry would flow through them and that your Holy Spirit would be deeply rooted within Daryl and Birgit. And we know that you'll be journeying there with them and you've even gone ahead before them. So we just pray that as they're there, the ministry would flourish, that this evangelical church would impact those people and it would go from 100 to just multiplying and multiplying and multiplying as they probably reach some of the hardest to reach people, these people who gamble and race drivers. So we just pray that you would be there with them, ministering alongside them. Jesus, we pray in your holy name to bless them. Amen.